This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right. They offer a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. The program helps students learn the industry and turn that passion into a rewarding career. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech is led by PGA professional Scott Kennedy. He also coaches the Chargers golf team in the NJCAA. Men, women, there are opportunities for everyone at Southwest Tech in Fenimore. To learn more, go to swtc.edu/golf for more information. We welcome you into Talking.Golf here on a Monday. Rob Hernandez along with Gary D'Amato. It is a major championship week. It is U.S. Open week. Early happy Father's Day. Oh, wait a second. Sorry, Gary. It's not June. So we don't even have a holiday to celebrate on Sunday. And it's going to be like all the majors this fall. It's going to be in and around Packer football. But at the same time, if the drama is as we expect it to be, it should be pretty good stuff all week long at Wingfoot, Gary.
I guess we'll say a belated Labor Day instead of Happy Father's Day.
That's right.
Yeah, it's sure is strange having a major championship, the U.S. Open in September, and even stranger will be the Masters in November. But U.S. Open week, it's still going to be exciting. No Brooks Koepka, and that makes it really interesting. There's a lot of, obviously, a great field and more of an invitational this year than without the qualifying. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens this week.
We're less than 24 hours into U.S. Open week, and life on Twitter has been great to see all the things about the U.S. Open rough. And, you know, again, we see golf courses back in the old days, Gary. We saw golf courses built largely in the fall so they could seed or built, you know, graded, and because you can grow grass really easily at this time of the year. The conditions are right. We're starting to come down in most parts of the country, and especially up there in New York State. You know, from the hot summer months, but there were a couple of good tweets. One from Peter Jacobson, he pulled a blade of grass out of the rough at Wingfoot and set it next to a ruler from Staples, and it stretched the entire 12 inches, 12-inch rough, Gary. And again, we talked about it before game of the year. I'm guessing that will be the extreme of it, but it tells me there's a lot where that came from.
Well, you know, Wingfoot is famous for inducing high scores at U.S. Opens, going back to Hale Irwin and the massacre, right, in 1974. There have been some great U.S. Opens there. And, of course, lately, more recently, we had Phil Mickelson blowing his chance to win his U.S. Open, his best chance. He's had a number of great chances, but that was definitely his best chance. So, I expect some high scores this week. Certainly, this time of the year, they have no problems growing grass with the cool nights and the rain, you know, that part of the country has gotten. So, I'm sure the grass and the turf is going to be very lush, and they'll be able to get the rough to whatever height they want it.
So, I'm seeing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is the 6th U.S. Open at Wingfoot. Last time, you mentioned 2006 when Phil Mickelson imploded down the stretch, and in fact, on the last hole, and handed it to Jeff Ogilvy. Other U.S. Open champions at Wingfoot, Fuzzy Zeller back in 84. You mentioned Hale Irwin in 74. Billy Casper and Bobby Jones back in 1929 in a playoff over Al Espinosa.
Wow.
If you were to – I mean, is there anybody that you see out of today's group of golfers that – resembles that group? Because it is a kind of an interesting, you know, list. I mean, Jeff Ogilvy at that point, you know, was pretty much an unknown, and I guess you can make the argument is still an unknown, and that we tend to get some of those type of U.S. Open champions. But obviously Fuzzy Zeller went on to win a Masters and or had already won a Masters by that point. Hale Irwin has won many majors and just a phenomenal career. And Billy Casper, really solid, but they aren't the greatest golfers of their era. And that tells me that a lot of these guys that are kind of plodding along here in the shadows of the PGA Tour might be the ones we look for this week at Wingfoot.
You know, and I look for, you know, we've been talking in recent podcasts, Rob, and really all year about some of the really great young golfers who are coming along who are in their early 20s. And, you know, those guys have no fear. They might be ill-advised, the bombers, to pull out driver on every hole at Wingfoot, because I think you're asking for trouble. But I wouldn't be a bit surprised if a player like Colin Morikawa, you know, contended and even won the U.S. Open.
When we look at playing a major this time of year, there's a mentality there. Typically, when the guys, you know, craft their schedule, they're doing it so they play on courses and in competition that, you know, gets them ready for their major championship stretch between the Masters and now the Open Championship in July. Here, we've already had one major with the PGA Championship, and now we've got the U.S. Open. There will be no Open Championship in Great Britain this year, but as you said, there'll be the Masters in November. How do we see the building process here? And especially for guys who this time of year, really, we don't see a whole lot of, in that PGA Tour wraparound season concept where, you know, after it gets to be the Ryder Cup, most of these guys, except for maybe Tiger's event, we don't see again until the West Coast.
Yeah, you know, they're just coming off the FedEx Cup playoffs. And in a way, it's never a good thing that – it's not a good thing that the Ryder Cup was postponed a year. But for some of these guys to go from the FedEx Cup playoffs to a U.S. Open to a Ryder Cup, that would have been asking a lot, you know, physically, mentally, and emotionally. So they're getting a little bit of a break that way in that they don't have to follow this up with the Ryder Cup. And I'm talking, of course, about the top 12 Americans and Europeans that would be in the field this week. But yeah, and then a Masters in November, it puts an end to what's been kind of an unusual and I guess even crazy year.
There aren't many golfers in the field that would have played at Wingfoot back the last time the U.S. Open was held here. But as we look at the Ryder Cup point standings, which is really the only thing we've got to go on now that combines 2020 and looking ahead to 2021, you know, Dustin Johnson's won a lot lately, but mm-hmm. I think we put him in a list of bombers along with Bryson DeChambeau and wonder if they can keep it out of that tall grass. How do you look at their chances versus you know, guys like Justin Thomas, Webb Simpson, or, you know, even a Xander Schauffele, young guy, Patrick Reed, who's got major championship experience, you know, some of the guys who, you know, might be able to, quote unquote, think their way around the golf course a little bit more?
Well, of that group, I think for me, the name that stands out is Webb Simpson, Rob. He's had a tremendous year, kind of quietly, actually. And obviously a great U.S. Open player. He's won one, right? So, right. And he's playing very well. And then you've got to look at Dustin Johnson. I mean, the guy's been on a real tear. It's amazing, you know, he shoots 80-80 at Muirfield Village in the Memorial. And just it's kind of incredible how he can just shake those things off that have happened to him throughout his career. It's like, oh, well, I shot a couple 80s. I'll shoot 65 next time out. And he does it. And Bryson DeChambeau, on the other hand, has not played as well lately as he did, you know, at the restart and earlier in the year. So I don't know what's going on with Bryson. He's not in top form, I don't think, right now. But Dustin Johnson certainly is. And certainly Webb Simpson, I think, could very much be a factor this week.
And out of the group from, you know, Europe, the group from the internationals, you look at someone like Rory McIlroy, who's played really well throughout the year. John Rahm has had it seemed to have been in all the playoff events, going right down to the wire. And then, you know, guys that always seem to emerge in these major championships, Tommy Fleetwood, dare I say an Ian Poulter, guys, you know, plotters, grinders, just won't go away. There's so many guys out there right now, Gary. This is what makes this one, I think, this U.S. Open so intriguing, is that it's going to – I think they're going to go, you know, they've got a captive audience here. We've got the NFL, but we've got people that are dying to see this major championship season here in the fall and have it be different. And it sure seems like they might pull out all the stops, and it's going to be someone that's got a level head and maybe doesn't, you know, kind of lose it composure-wise. Maybe that eliminates a John Rahm, who tends to get a little bit, cranky when things aren't going well. But anyone in that group, you know, the non-U.S. group, to you, Gary, that stands out?
Well, obviously, Rory McIlroy, you know, just had the birth of his first child. He's on a high emotionally from that. How that affects his golf going forward is anyone's guess. I mean, he could be motivated and incentivized to play some great golf now coming up, and but no one would blame him if he was thinking family and young baby at home and not 110% committed to golf right now. So that'll be interesting, I think. Of all the other names you mentioned, Tommy Fleetwood, I think most people would agree, it would be hard to imagine him going another, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 years without picking off at least one major championship. He seems to have all the tools. You know, he's had a remarkable career in Europe, but really hasn't backed it up in the United States. And that's one guy I'd be watching for sure out of that group, Rob. How about you? What do you think of the European group here?
Well, I think, you know, it goes deep. I think of Justin Rose, you know, is somebody that to me stands out as having the experience and the poise to maybe surprise. But, you know, again, he's not someone that's played tremendously well of late, but he's had a pretty good season going back to the start of 2020. Adam Scott's another guy from the international group. He's not a European. He'd be your, President's Cup type of guy that is always there. And he might be one. I think those are two guys that I see that have the mentality to maybe break through. And especially at this time of the year, you know, their games are in pretty good shape. They haven't slipped that much in the rankings. It's weird to look at the world golf rankings, Gary, and see it dominated by U.S. golfers. I you look at the top 10 and, you know, the only two non-U.S. Golfers are John Rahm and Rory McIlroy. So, you know, a lot of money will be wagered on those two guys among the foreigners. But I just don't think you can sleep on these guys. We know how well they play this time of year in the Ryder Cup. And, you know, I just think that they'll be able to handle this this tough setup that we're anticipating at Wingfoot as well as anybody. So those would be my two guys outside the U.S.
And then, of course, we come to local favorite Steve Stricker, U.S. Ryder captain. You know, obviously his chances of winning the U.S. Open are not good at this point in his career. But his chances of, you know, coming off a pretty good week on the Champions Tour, his chances of playing well, I think, are good. How do you feel about Steve?
What I really like about Steve, Gary, is that his putting right now, at least this past weekend at the Sanford International in Sioux Falls, was exceptional. Probably the best I've seen out of him all year, especially down the stretch in final rounds. I mean, he gave himself a chance to win yesterday simply with his putter. He was putting himself in bad spots off the tee. He could get away with that last week. He's going to have to shore that up big time this week, or it's going to be a long week for Steve. Or a short one.
Yeah.
and an even tougher chore for Mario if he's on the bag, Mario Tiziani, yeah. Because, you know, you just you can't miss fairways out here. And they're playing this thing at 74-77, I believe, is the yardage I saw. And that's a pretty good chunk of change, for a guy Steve's age. And he's talked about how he's lost a little bit off the tee. So he's got to find some club in his bag that can go straight and long enough and give himself chances to hit maybe, you know, an iron or two longer into greens just to give him a chance to use his, you know, play to his strength. And I think that's on the green. If he can shrink down the size of Wingfoot into a course that he can, you know, where he can reach most of the greens in regulation and give himself a chance with the putter, I like his chances. And again, you know, we're going to grade on a curve here. I don't think anybody is expecting the winning score to be, you know, more than maybe 4 or 5 under par. And there may not be more than 1 or 2 guys under par by Sunday. So you're going to, and it could be very well be given, you know, all the, what we're seeing in, you know, the few hours that we've, you know, people have been on the grounds reporting from Wingfoot that, you know, if the rough is that high and that penal, that it could be an over par U.S. Open, in which case I think Steve's got a great chance because, again, he's kind of going in there with good vibes off the PGA Tour champions and really with nothing to lose this week.
Yeah, and the other part about Steve is his experience in U.S. Opens. He's played in a million of them. He knows what it takes. He won't panic if he makes, you know, a bogey here or there because he knows everyone else in the field is going to be making. Some of the younger guys will make 2 bogeys and then step on the next tee and say, I've got to make a birdie here. Steve knows that you're coming off a bogey or two, you can make up three or four pars in a row and get back on track. And that's what it takes at a U.S. Open. So I think he's got, if I'm not mistaken, at least three top 10 finishes in U.S. Opens, maybe more. I think he finished fifth at Olympic in 98 and fifth maybe at Pinehurst, the first one that Phil won.
According to what I saw yesterday, his T6 at Wingfoot in 2006 was his best. Now, let me just double check that. So we're not, he's got two top fives in 80, yeah. 98, 99, but he has not finished better than sixth, since, he was at Wingfoot in 2006. And we can't forget, Gary, that, that year Stricker had a one shot lead, after 36 holes over Colin Montgomery. And, so he does play the course well. Unfortunately, that year he faded down the stretch and shot 76, 73, wound up T6 with a whole bunch of other guys. His best finish most recently is way back then, and it hasn't been a real good record since then in terms of U.S. Opens for Steve Stricker. But, you know, again, I think, you know, his game is as good as any at adjusting to conditions, the likes of which we're going to see this week in New York.
Yeah, he might not have top 10'd it at Marion, but I know he was in the game late in the game until the maybe the third round when he was in contention. I think he hit remember the shank he hit?
Probably
one of five shanks he's hit in his life, but it came at a really bad time when he was near the lead in the US Open at Marion. And I don't know if you have it up where he finished there. I'm sure it was a good finish, but he was, you know, he had a chance to win that week too, and that was 2013 maybe. So he's played well in the US Open.
Yeah, he sure has. Let me give that a look. But, I feel that this will be a good opportunity for him. You know, he opened up 71-69 at Marion and then was still one shot off going into the final round and then faded into a T8 that year. It was 76 in the final round and finished behind Justin Rose. A lot of names that we talk about here that, keep popping up and, it'll be fun to watch. Now, fun to watch and different to watch. This is still a major championship, Gary, that I believe is not to be played with any fans, is it?
Yeah, that's correct. And the final rounds will end much earlier in the day as a nod to college football and the NFL. So that'll be interesting too. The Masters did that last year. Ended early because of rain.
Yep. And then there are also going to be when that comes up in November, that'll be a factor as well. There's a lot of things interactive that the U.S. Open's offering, and then of course with the competition being aired on Golf Channel in the early rounds, something that kind of got lost in the pandemic is the fact that Fox basically punted on the last few years of its contract to televise the USGA events, and NBC's picked it up. And the good news in that is they've got this new Peacock app that apparently is going to be for the U.S. Open what ESPN Plus was for the PGA Championship. So there'll be a lot of early coverage there and a lot of opportunities to at least see, a lot of shots from everybody's favorite golfers, no matter who that might be on your own list, which I think is pretty cool because, let's face it, if it's that Father's Day weekend in June, you and I are sitting on the couch Thursday through Sunday and with the signs up, do not disturb, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And those signs might be up this coming Saturday and Sunday anyway. It's going to be neat to watch the U.S. Open and follow it with some NFL action. I'm going to be parked in front of my TV all day Sunday, Rob. I don't know about you.
It was like that yesterday. I mean, we got the Packer game on network TV out here on Fox, and then they didn't show the PGA Tour champions live. It was all tape delayed, so I had to watch the feed on the computer. So I was back and forth. I love it. I mean, after having so little sports for so long here during this COVID-19 era, it's fun to see box scores back in the newspaper. It's fun to see live sports on TV. It was great to see fans at the Sanford International in Sioux Falls, and credit to the Sanford group, Andy North, tournament host, and Kelby Krabenhoff, Joe Krabenhoff, the former Badger basketball player and current assistant coach's dad, for being diligent in wanting to make it happen. And again, so far I haven't heard anything bad about the experience, and it was nice for the I know Miguel Angel Jimenez, who wound up winning the tournament yesterday, really enjoyed, you know, having some cheers coming up 18, because we haven't had cheers in a long time. And then you flip down the dial, and the ANA Inspiration up in Palm Springs, you know, had no fans, and then there was a little bit of controversy because they recreated the bottom of what would have been the grandstand behind 18, and it's a par five, and golfers are trying to bank, you know, hybrids off the back of it, so they can either get a free drop or you know, keep it in play, and as they try to reach 18 and two. So, you know, it just, it's different, and this U.S. Open will be different, but I think you know, credit to the USGA, they're going to make it possible for us to see a lot of golf this weekend, and I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Me too, Robin. As long as they don't have cardboard cutouts of people in grandstands, that's getting old to look at. When I see, you know, looking at the football, watching football yesterday, and seeing rows of cardboard people in behind the goalposts, just take them out. The seats are empty. We all know that.
And they got me one time yesterday in the Packer game when they said Fran Tarkenton was in the house. Well, yeah, he was. It was just a cardboard cutout. I said, oh, Gary, yeah. Gary would throw a football at that guy. we'll wrap up our U.S. Open talk. We've talked about Steve Stricker going from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, to the East Coast to play the U.S. Open. How about Jerry Kelly, who had another top 10 finish at Sioux Falls, I believe a T6 yesterday in the Champions Tour event. He's going from Sioux Falls out to Pebble Beach for their annual fall classic out there. In conjunction with the first tee, and I tell you, these guys have it made. I mean, you know, what a neat thing to be able to go from a buzz of a relatively new event in the middle of the country to now each of them going to two very historic golf courses. Gotta love professional golfers.
Yeah, and how about that? How about what those guys have done on the Champions Tour? If you add up all their victories, but especially their top 10 finishes. Both those guys have been top 10 machines since they came on the Champions Tour. They are raking in the cash, Rob.
Raking in the cash and honestly, just enjoying life out there. And, And, you know, Jerry mentioned that, you know, his quite often that he played so much on the regular tour, so he wouldn't have to worry about whether he was exempt or not on the senior tour. And now I think he's made enough money, you know, in terms of his performance, being a perennial threat in the Charles Schwab Cup standings to make sure that that's, you know, that's all well and good for a long, long time. But so we'll have Champions Tour out of Pebble Beach. We'll have the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. We'll have the Packers back on. Who they got this week, Gary? Is it the Lions, did I see?
You got me, Rob. You stumped me.
I'm not sure. But it doesn't matter anymore because they're going to win every game they play after yesterday's performance. So just bring it on, right?
Yeah, the way the offense looked, defense played well enough. The offense looked really good. Despite not having OTAs and a shorter and later camp than usual and no preseason games, that was pretty impressive.
And I know next to cardboard cutouts, there's nothing you miss more than family night at Lambeau Field and all the preseason games. So I won't spend too much time on that. So not as to make you all weepy.
I'm just glad I don't have to drive up there anymore, Rob. That got to be a long drive at the end of my Journal Sentinel days, especially in winter with the snow flying. Yeah. Spend time on a golf course.
Absolutely. Talking Duck Golf, sponsored again this week by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. They have a golf course management program with 100% job placement after graduation. The program helps students learn the industry and turn that passion into a rewarding career. Golf course management program at Southwest Tech, led by PGA professional Scott Kennedy, also coach of the Chargers golf team in the National Junior College Athletic Association. That's what the NJCAA stands for. You can check out more at swtc.edu/golf for more information. And a lot of those guys, Gary, able to go on and become club pros. And if you become a Class A club pro, I know there were four that were honored that achieved that level here recently in the Wisconsin section of the PGA of America. But you can play in the Wisconsin Professional Championship, the Wisconsin PGA Professional Championship, which is going on today and tomorrow at Green Bay Country Club. You'll be up there for the final round tomorrow. And as we refresh the leaderboard, Gary, who is in the lead?
I'm waiting patiently, Rob, for you to tell me, because my internet has gone out at my house.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we got
to. I'm leaving it up to you.
All right. Well, this is a name that will be get high marks from Gary D'Amato. because it's the son of his former college golf coach, Mark Voller, in the lead from Golf really? Galaxy in Brookfield. Mark Voller, the former Whitewater High School state champion in the WIAA, and I believe he went on to, for a couple years at Northern Illinois, 3 under par, and through 15 holes. Currently, your leader by 2 over Jeff Kaiser and David Roche, a pair of ex-Badgers. Of course, Jeff Kaiser, the TaylorMade Player Development Center specialist over there at Vitance Golfland in Madison. And David Roche, really the instructor to all the great young stars in the state of Wisconsin playing girls golf this fall and girls and boys golf in the spring. And David Roche currently on the course playing his final hole at 1 under. Jeff Kaiser, the leader in the clubhouse. Couple guys tied at even par, Paul Kostelic of Door Creek Golf Course in Cottage Grove, and Craig Cernajewski out of Washington County Golf Course, also at even. For a while there, Jason Semelian had worked himself into the lead at 1 under, 2 under actually, and but he went double bogey on 16, bogey on 17, and he is playing his final hole at 1 over, tied with Brett Weber out of Delbrook Golf Course in Delavan. So, and we should mention too that Michael Crowley, the winner of last week's Wisconsin State Senior Open, in the house with a 74, along with the guy that he dethroned, Jim Schumann, out of Blue Mound Golf and Country Club in Wauwatosa. So it's going to be a shootout tomorrow for you, Gary, up at Green Bay Country Club. Have you had a chance to play Green Bay Country Club? It's a very much a you know, a connect the dots kind of course where you've got to kind of, you know, play to spots and then play into greens. And it's, I don't think it's really what you would call a bomb and gouge type of golf course.
No, I played it once, Rob, years and years ago, probably right after it opened. So, and it's probably, what, 20 years old, 25 years old at this point. So, yeah, it's been a long time since I've been up there. Looking forward to getting up there and watching those guys.
I believe Green Bay Country Club has the distinction of being the first golf course ever to host an LPGA Legends, what is now an LPGA Legends Tour event. And so that'll be kind of fun to watch tomorrow. And we'll see if Mark Voller can keep it going there. Good guy, wonderful, and from a wonderful family. His yep. Both his mom and his dad were former golf coaches at UW Whitewater. And so I always have a soft spot in my heart for Mark Voller. We also, of course, Gary, have a soft spot in our heart for the Landing Cannon, and I think I need to at least publicly apologize for not getting the results from the Wisconsin Public Links Association State 36-hole stroke play at Nagawaki and Wanaki up on our website, and I'll do that as soon as we're done recording the podcast. But Tom Halla, the Landing Cannon, 70-71, 241 total. He wins by 2 shots over former Brookfield Central golfer Jack Anderson and Travis Engel out of Kenosha. Tom Halla, all he does is win, Gary.
The ageless one. I know he's won that tournament a bunch of times, and you know, he's the clubhouse manager at Nagawaki and probably plays that course as much as anybody, so he has a little bit of an advantage there. But he's always almost every year he's in some at least semi contention in the Ray Fisher, and his joke is always when he finishes T6 or T8 or T4 that he always jokes that he's a low old guy, but he still has a ton of game.
Well, it wasn't a bad week for old guys and at the Pub Links. Travis Engel, if I'm not mistaken, is probably in what is 30s, maybe out of Bristol Oaks in Kenosha, and actually 44. So not too bad. And I also saw Joe Weber's name on there. He's had himself quite a year. And yeah. It was kind of funny because with no college golf going on, Cam Frazier, the Badger golfer out of Cincinnati, Ohio, came down and played in the tournament, shot 77 at Nagawaki and 71 at Wanaki to finish in the top 10. But we're seeing a lot of different things going on here because I discovered the only school playing college golf that I can tell right now. There's a couple of schools out of the what used to be the Lake Michigan Conference, now the NACC, the North. I'm going to butcher that. The Northern Athletic Collegiate Conference, but they can only play, you know, looks like duels or something. But Viterbo University, NAIA school out of La Crosse, their women's team went down, I believe it was to Iowa last over the weekend and played a 2-day event there. But it's everybody's playing where they can. I know there's a couple of events that the Wisconsin PGA is coordinating with some of the college coaches at Janesville Riverside and then at Reedsburg Country Club where the WIAC championship was. But it's not easy to, there aren't a lot of events going on this time of year, and those that are being, there's a lot of good participation, and it's kind of an extension of what we saw this summer, isn't it, Gary?
It is. Yeah. The tournament season, at least statewide, is coming to an end, but there's still some things to look forward to here, Rob. And I can't wait to get up to Green Bay Country Club tomorrow and hopefully we can watch, hopefully Mark holds on, but he's got some great players behind him. As you mentioned, David Roche. I don't know if Mark's ever won this tournament. I'm going to have to look at the list of former winners. I don't believe he has. But yeah, there's a lot of golf still to play, Rob. We've still got 6 weeks of pretty good weather left here, I hope anyway.
Well, 6 weeks of good weather for competitive golf and then also a lot of recreational golf still to be played. And to answer your question, he has not. Defending champion Ryan Hellman and not in the field. Neither is Joe Leonard, who won in 2018, from what I could tell. I didn't look too far down. You know, it's weird because a lot of these guys haven't had a great amount of chance to play because the lesson business has been pretty good too. You'll probably find out tomorrow why. I think 69 golfers that are currently on the course, 71 signed up, is about what they've had. But again, we're missing some names that we're used to seeing up there. I know Ryan with a growing family and kids that are playing golf now too. So priorities change. But
I do see him in the field though, Rob. My internet came back.
There you go. Four over
tied for 20 seconds.
Uh oh. Yeah. Yep. All right. Not where we're used to seeing Ryan Hellman in, but
no.
But again, you know, this is not a year where anything it resembles normal, is it, Gary? I mean, these tournament finishes too, because these guys are not playing the kind of golf that they've been playing in normal years. There's also a lot of time, Gary, to play recreational golf, and you played one of my favorite golf courses and wrote about it at D-Time with D'Amato. Is up on Wisconsin.golf. His latest, might be his last course review of the calendar year. Mascouten Golf Club in Berlin, where they have hosted a lot of U.S. amateur qualifiers and I think one U.S. Open qualifier, Wisconsin State Amateur 1 year, and also the Wisconsin State Women's Open. I caddied that year. A course, in my opinion, Gary, that is very deceptively tough because, and if you look at the picture that's with your story on Wisconsin.golf, those trees hugging the fairway, you got to take those into account because those branches, you cannot hit over a lot of those trees that are at Mascouten Golf Club.
No, you can't. The last time I was at Mascouten, I believe was 06 when Dan Weltman won his the state amateur there. So it had been a while since I seen the course. I didn't remember much of it. And that's a course, I think, Rob, where because of the trees that guard that line the fairways and sort of encroach and hang over either the left or right side of the fairway, it's a course that it helps to have played it once or twice and learn where you can and can't hit it. The first hole I hit what I thought was a good drive, as I wrote in my story, and down the right side of the fairway and got there and looked up and there was a giant tree in my way. And I had to hit an 8-iron to hit it high enough to get over the tree, and then I was 20 yards short of the green. So, local knowledge is big there, but that place, I almost wish I could go back up there in about 3 weeks when the colors break here and we get a lot of reds and yellows and oranges, because that place with all those trees is going to look spectacular come early October.
It is in an area of the state that is has an abundance of great golf courses. Obviously, just down the road in Green Lake, you've got Tuscumbia, one of the oldest courses in the state, but then Lasonia Links, the 36 holes there with the Woodlands and the famous Links course. And then, you know, a lot of people are discovering it's not that far from the Sand Valley, Lake Arrowhead, Century World grouping. Obviously, Century World not open here in 2020, but most years you can package a lot of golf into a short drive in that area. And I don't think anybody is forgetting or overlooking Mascouten anymore, are they, Gary?
No, 27 holes, the original 18 designed by Larry Packard, who's done a lot of good work around the country, a lot of good golf courses in Wisconsin. The Copperhead course at Innisbrook, which is used for the PGA Tour's Valspar Championship. And then, you know, the newer nine, which opened about 20, 21 years ago, designed by Rick Jacobson, who did the club at Strawberry Creek, which Bill Linneman always says is the best conditioned golf course in the state. And it's a fun golf course to play. So, yeah, you've got a little variety. The original 18 holes are, the fairways are much narrower than the blue nine, the nine designed by Rick Jacobson. But that nine has more water features and a couple of forced carries that can be kind of tricky. So 27 holes are really strong golf there at Mascouten.
So we can close our podcast with another one of our, you know, Gary and Rob lists. We've got lists of areas around the state that people like to go play golf. And I told you, I warned you, we would rank our you know, how we see these areas. I'll throw a few out. The Northwoods with St. Germain Golf Club, Northwoods Golf Club, Eagle River, and then, of course, Timber Ridge and even Trout Lake up in Arborvitae is a good one. And and then, of course, you've got Door County. A few less courses there this year with the little nine-hole one up in Sister Bay didn't open. And Alpine Resort in Egg Harbor, 36-holer that is very popular for people who like to just kind of get away from it all and play golf on a, you know, very relaxed basis. That one didn't open, but you've got the Orchards at Egg Harbor, Peninsula State Park, Max Walton Braes, and then, you know, further down the door into Kewaunee and Luxembourg, you've got Sponge's Place at Northbrook. It's a lot of things coming and going to Door County you can hit even in the Green Bay area. But and then, you know, Lake Geneva, they've got their own little trail now down there. And then Central Wisconsin, where, you know, I would lump Mascouten in there with the other ones. I don't know whether we give the Dells their own territory, Gary. We can debate that. But how do you rank regions of the state for golf, and am I missing any?
Well, you didn't say Sheboygan County with all the colder stuff, obviously. But, you know, I guess if you're going to talk high-end, great resort golf, you've got to say Sand Valley and Kohler kind of stand above the rest. But I'll tell you what, the golf courses up or down in Lake Geneva, I think, man, that's a, there's so much variety there between Abbey Springs and Geneva National, Grand Geneva, and even outside of Lake Geneva, some courses that don't get mentioned, but, you know, Spring Valley I've written about, Twin Lakes Country Club, Nipissing. There's some really fun old golf courses right close to Highway 50 there that runs through Kenosha County and in the Walworth County. A lot of great golf. I mean, there's probably 8 or 10 courses within 5 miles of Highway 50. And that's a very golf-rich part of the state. It's hard to really rank them, but, you know, I would say for the best, very best golf, that central part with Sand Valley and Sheboygan County. And I'd follow that closely by Lake Geneva, but gosh, Rob, the courses up north are good too, so.
Well, and I think part of it has to do, Gary, with how much golf you're going to play too. I think that's, you know, if it's a guy's trip 7 days, I think you got to go Sheboygan area, especially now that the Bulls back open, Lake Geneva, mm-hmm. because of the abundance of courses. I'd throw Evergreen Golf Club and Elkhorn in there. And then if you want a fun little, you know, twilight round, Lauderdale Lakes, just north of Evergreen on the west side of the road. I played there once. It's this old nine-hole course with old little greens and, you know, kind of rolling in between some pine. It really was a fun little course. But I think that, you know, if you're the combination of a getaway, you know, especially if you allow enough time to, you know, to do the supper club thing, I think you got to go Northwoods, especially now that Timber Ridge is public. I would start there. I think I'd like to revisit sometime, and I know Dennis McCann has and has written about it. Eagle River Golf Course, still a great course. I've never played St. Germain. It opened after we would go up there when I was young, and so I've never played there. But Northwoods Golf Course in Rhinelander is really one of the tough Northwoods courses. You know, there isn't much room off the fairway between, you know, the edges of the fairway and just, you know, out of bounds trees, you know, that kind of thing. So you've got to be pretty precise, and not because of rough. It's just because, you know, they grow the fairways are ample, but the area off of it isn't. And then, you know, unsung up there is Inshallah Golf Course up in Tomahawk, which is very much like the others, but doesn't get the acclaim, and another one that was 18 holes carved through the trees. I've enjoyed playing in Door County, but I think, you know, again, it tends to be, for my taste, a little bit too busy with non-golfers. So I think if you're appeasing other members of the family who want a true vacation, it's a great place to go. But, you know, they've lost a couple, like I said, a couple golf courses. I've even golfed on the island, on Washington Island. I've golfed Washington Island, but I haven't golfed Madeline Island, the two island courses in Wisconsin. I've done that backwards, Gary. I'm sure golfed Madeline Island, right?
You know, I have not. I toured Madeline Island with my wife, and I gazed longingly at the golf course and wished I had brought my sticks.
So did I?
Yeah, I did not play it. And I haven't played on Washington Island, so you got me there, Rob. And also, you know, to be fair, I haven't played some of those courses way up north that you talked about. I have played Eagle River, which I love. I played Northwoods. I played Trout Lake. But I have not played Big Fish, and I have not played in Shallows, so I need to take a trip up there and sort of blanket over a couple of days that northern part of the state.
I think we need to crash with Dennis McCann for a summer. What do you?
Yeah,
that might be the thing to do. We'll have to work on that one. But man, I tell you, you know, the fact that we can talk about so many different areas of the state, and really, you know, I avoided, you know, Sheboygan just because, you know me, we tend to talk about them every other podcast for various amounts of reasons. We know they're good. We know right. You're going to be pleased going to Black Wolf Run and Whistling Straits. And, of course, one of the big headlines in the last week, Black Wolf Run stepping forward and being willing to host the WIA State Girls Golf Championship this fall because with COVID-19, WIA not going to play any state tournaments in Dane County because of the restrictions there. But they've been great for the game of golf, and they've been great stewards of golf there. And, I mean, you can't go wrong. And I mean, let's face it. If you spent a week in Milwaukee and started at Erin Hills and work your way around the area, you know, Brown Deer, the Bog, I mean, you're not going to be sad either, are you?
No, you're right. Brown Deer, the Bog, Nagawaki, Dretzka, my old favorite, Grant Park. I mean, the Milwaukee County Park System is truly, truly exceptional, Rob. And you're right. We should not dismiss Milwaukee. It's great golf in the Milwaukee area, too.
I think of you every week when I do the high school girls golf schedule, and I see the Woodlands Conference playing their mini meet at Grant Park there, and I said, they better get out of the way before D'Amato gets on the tee.
You know, I haven't played there yet this year, Rob, and I've got a county card, and I've got to get it out there. I play there at least once every year, so I've got to get out there in the next 2 or 3 weeks before the weather turns here.
I give you credit for getting a county card, even though you know that we're making you play all these other courses to write about.
Yeah, and I've only used it twice this year, so I've got to get my money's worth, Rob. I got to play a couple more rounds.
I did that 1 year with the Madison City card, and I thought it was the greatest thing ever. And then you have to actually get your butt out of bed and use it. I mean, that's the hard part. You get it. You got to use it. So, I hear you. Well, Gary, I think we've got a lot of options here. And a lot of options in parts of the state where, like we've talked about in the last couple podcasts, you can see some pretty good fall colors here coming up very, very soon, probably sooner than we would like. And it doesn't seem like we should be talking about fall colors in the U.S. Open in the same podcast, but welcome to 2020, right, my friend?
Absolutely. And you're right, Rob. This is really, it's almost, in my opinion, it could be the best time of year to play golf. Rain notwithstanding recently, usually we get a lot of 70-degree, you know, sunny days, the humidity's gone and the courses are firm and fast and the colors are changing. The next month really is a great, great time to play golf in our state.
I'm going to chalk up the last week of weather that you guys had back in Wisconsin to greasing the skids for a great fall. They got to water the plants, so to speak. And I think the fairways, the rough, the greens, they've all been watered now. Let's just let's deep six the rain in the forecast and just, you know, nothing but sunshine and cool temperatures here. And so Gary can enjoy his county pass, and that everybody else can enjoy fall golf in Wisconsin. And it'll be a good end to what's been a very strange 2020.
That sounds like a plan, Rob. Count me in.
All right. Well, we'll talk golf again next week. Gary, appreciate your time as always. And we'll do that. We'll talk golf again next Monday. So how's that sound?
That sounds great, Rob. Thanks.
Have a great U.S. Open weekend. Talking Golf, sponsored by Southwest Technical College out of Fenimore. And I got to say this again, Southwest Wisconsin Technical College out of Fenimore. They are the program that has the school that has the golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. That's right. The program helps students learn the industry and turn a passion for golf into a rewarding career. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech is led by PGA professional Scott Kennedy. He also coaches the Chargers golf team in the NJCAA. Men, women, there are golf opportunities for everybody at Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. You can find out more on their website at swtc.edu/golf. That's Southwest Tech in Fenimore. Thanks for talking golf. We'll talk again next week.